Good morning, early birds. You've caught the Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Continued reduced hours of operation at the Canada border, Butte reaches a final Superfund cleanup deal, and we take a look at whose name will be on the primary ballot for statewide races. It's Friday, May 22nd. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Billings Public Works Department has some suggestions for businesses and facilities getting ready to reopen under Governor Steve Bullock's phased reopening directive. Kay Erickson reports owners should think about their pipes.
If a business or facility has been closed down, chances are there's no water moving through the pipes, and that may mean a lower water bill, but it also can mean stagnant water. Lewis Ingalls, Billings Water Quality Division Manager, says that's not good.
If it sits stagnant, it can lose its chlorine residual, and that can cause bacteria to grow, like Legionella. It can also cause lead or copper to leach into the water if it's allowed to sit for too long.
Ingalls says you need to draw fresh water into the system. He recommends flushing to the furthest reaches of the business's plumbing system and running water through that tap until it runs cold.
And when it runs cold or colder, that is indication that the water from the city distribution main has made it through your plumbing. And we recommend 3 to 5 minutes after that point just to ensure that you're getting the freshest water.
The Environmental Protection Agency and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have checklists for restoring water service. Steps include inspecting the plumbing, draining and cleaning out hot water heaters, flushing hot water lines, flushing cold water lines, and draining and cleaning water storage facilities. Ingalls says that ensures the safest water for the business's clients and staff. I'm Kay Erickson with Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Essential-only travel between the United States and Canada is keeping the hours of operations reduced at 6 ports of entry in Montana and 1 in Idaho. Yesterday, Customs and Border Protection announced the U.S. and Canada had signed an agreement extending essential-only travel restrictions through at least June 22nd, or until current travel restrictions are lifted. Limited hours will remain in effect for ports of entry at Raymond, Opheim, Morgan, Turner, Delbonita, and Piegan in Montana and Port Hill in Idaho. CBP will continue to operate the port of Wild Horse north of Havre on its winter hours, 7 days a week. The opening of the seasonal port of Chief Mountain between Glacier National Park and Waterton Glacier International Peace Park has been delayed until travel restrictions are lifted. Cross-border travel between Montana and Canada has significantly declined since essential-only travel restrictions were first imposed on March 21st in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. On Wednesday, Butte's local government approved an overarching $150 million Superfund cleanup deal, marking a new chapter for the mining city, which has been on the nation's list of most toxic sites since the 1980s. Nora Sachs with Montana Public Radio's Richest Hill podcast has more.
District 4, John Sorich.
Yes.
District 5.
Just before Butte Silver Bow's Council of Commissioners voted on the Superfund deal during a virtual council meeting, Commissioner Michelle Shea spoke about the gravity of the occasion.
We're preparing to make the most monumental decision to ever affect the future of our great city.
That's because this agreement, or consent decree, lays out a blueprint for finishing the decades-long mine waste cleanup of the Butte Hill and Urban Creeks. And it guarantees Butte's Industrial Creek Corridor will be transformed into a 120-acre greenway with ponds and walking trails. John Sesso, Butte Superfund coordinator, acknowledged that the settlement between the county, the state, the Environmental Protection Agency, and Atlantic Richfield isn't perfect. But he says it locks in a legal framework that will hold the former oil company responsible for $150 million more worth of cleanup work.
We're set up well for the future. We got the money. ARCO's paying for everything. I think it's time to go ahead and let the chief sign this document and move it forward, Mr. Chairman.
Butte Superfund parties spent 2 years hashing out the details of the 1,100-page consent decree, which was unveiled to the public in February. There's a vocal contingent in Butte who maintain the deal does not go far enough because it won't rebuild the very upper stretch of the Silverbow Creek Channel into a free-flowing stream. However, the vast majority of public comments received at virtual meetings over the last month and a half were in support of the county approving the cleanup deal. Retired hydrogeologist Joe Griffin said Wednesday that this agreement won't just be good for Butte and its headwaters. It will help restore the Clark Fork River Basin as a whole.
This is a milestone moment for us all, and it will echo through time and across the watershed.
As soon as Butte's chief executive signs the consent decree, it will be lodged with a federal district court, which will trigger a formal 30-day public comment period. I'm Nora Sachs, Montana Public Radio.
A Canadian company has built the first piece of the disputed Keystone XL oil sands pipeline across the U.S. border and started work on labor camps in Montana and South Dakota. However, Calgary-based TC Energy has not resolved a recent courtroom setback that canceled a key permit and would make it much harder to complete the $8 billion project. The 1,200-mile pipeline from Alberta to Nebraska was stalled for much of the past decade before President Donald Trump was elected and began trying to push it through to completion. Environmentalists and Native American tribes are bitterly opposed to it because of worries over oil spills and that burning the fuel would make climate change much worse. Montana's June 2nd primary will be conducted mainly by mail-in ballot. Candidates are working to get their message out before the election. Kevin Trevelin reports on the five candidates running for governor.
With incumbent Governor Steve Bullock termed out, two Democrats and three Republicans are vying to become Montana's next chief executive. On the Democratic side, current Lieutenant Governor Mike Cooney and Missoula businesswoman Whitney Williams both advocate for holding big pharmaceutical companies accountable and bolstering education with a public preschool option. Cooney says his experience as an elected official since the 70s has prepared him to make an immediate impact in the governor's office.
And that is what really prepares me to become governor and to continue to be able to fight these fights and take on these challenges without missing a beat. You don't have to train me. I've been there, and I know what to do, and I can do it from day one.
Meanwhile, Williams says Montana is ready for new leadership. She says running her company, Williams Works, has prepared her to rebuild a state economy struck by the novel coronavirus. Williams narrowly led fundraising during the most recent filing period with $127,000 received. The most recent campaign finance reports weren't available for all three Republican candidates. U.S. Representative Greg Gianforte, State Attorney General Tim Fox, and State Senator Al Olszewski, but reports from the previous filing period show a runaway fundraising lead for Gianforte, who loaned his campaign $500,000 and raised another $75,000. All three Republican candidates have advocated for reducing government waste and lowering prescription drug costs. All of them also call for fewer regulations on businesses. Gianforte has touted his business experience and connection with President Donald Trump on the campaign trail. Fox says Gianforte should hold on to his seat in Congress. Fox says working with officials on both sides of the aisle to solve problems in his role as a two-term attorney general makes him the most electable candidate to retake the governor's office.
There are a tremendous amount of folks relying on leadership to get it right. My two opponents have really all they've engaged in is pandering and rhetoric, and they have no substance.
Olszewski is casting himself as a hardline conservative. He says he'd replace and repeal Montana's Medicaid expansion program and scrap the state's water compact with the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes. Montana's last Republican governor left office in 2005. Kevin Trevelin, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Montana's term-limited Attorney General Tim Fox is seeking the Republican Party's gubernatorial nomination. Two Democrats and two Republicans are now jockeying for Fox's open seat. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien has this preview on the two contested primary races for the state's next chief legal officer.
Montana's Attorney General primary contest features four candidates, all with government and legal experience who bring competing visions and priorities for the office. Republican John Bennion is outgoing AG Tim Fox's Chief Deputy Attorney General.
I'm not going to need any kind of on-the-job training before I take this office. I'll be ready on day one.
He praises Tim Fox's leadership, but says the AG's office needs to intervene more in natural resource cases.
Where groups have sued to stop responsible forest management, I would like to see us get involved in more of those cases.
Bennion's opponent, Roosevelt County Attorney Austin Knutson, served as Speaker of the Montana House during the 2015 and 2017 legislatures. Knutson's made drug-related crimes a campaign centerpiece.
I would say a full 90% of my caseload right now in the Roosevelt County Attorney's Office is dealing with meth and the related issues that go with it. And I'm used to prosecuting these people. This is what I do.
Knutson says the AG's office under Tim Fox's leadership prioritized that agency's budget over those of local law enforcement agencies.
I want to cut some of that budget in Helena, and I want to get that funding out to the front lines, to the sheriff's offices, and to your local prosecutors that are actually dealing with this problem every day.
The Democratic primary race for Attorney General pits attorney and Missoula state lawmaker Kimberly Dudick against Rafe Graybill, Governor Steve Bullock's chief legal counsel. Dudick has worked as an attorney, assistant attorney general, a nurse, and a four-term state legislator.
I've been an attorney now for 18 years, and he's been an attorney for less than five. And I'm the only one who has frontline experience bringing charges and ensuring safety when criminal laws have been violated. He has none of that experience.
Graybill doesn't see it that way.
I've had two cases in the U.S. Supreme Court in the last 2 years. I've gone up against the United States Department of Justice and the Trump administration and won. You saw us in our fight against the tobacco industry in Montana in a very contentious case. And it's in those kinds of cases and from that background of advocacy that I come to this race.
Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.
Three candidates are vying to fill one of the seven seats on Montana's Supreme Court. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports the candidates are pointing to their legal experience heading into the June 2nd primary.
The race is nonpartisan, and the primary will result in the two candidates with the most votes moving on to the general election in November. All three candidates are promoting their legal backgrounds and experience. Mike Black is from Haver, and this is his second time vying for a seat on the state's highest court. He applied to be appointed to Justin Brian Norris's seat in 2014 when Norris was appointed to the federal bench. Black has practiced law in Montana for about 30 years, representing and suing mining, railroad, and insurance companies. He also worked in the state attorney general's office for about 4 years, ending in 2015.
A lot of that work was defending Montana's laws with respect to campaign finance and disclosure, and I fought a lot of dark money groups.
More recently, Black has worked on employee benefit cases under his private practice. Black's work and being a fourth-generation Montanan were recently touted in an op-ed article by five retired state Supreme Court justices who endorsed Black. Missoula attorney Mar Scott is also from Montana and has practiced law in the state for nearly 40 years. Most of his legal career has been in the realm of family and civil law. That's something he says would round out the bench, which currently has several former prosecutors and district judges on its roster.
Criminal law is well represented up there, but some of the other areas of law are not necessarily as well represented.
Scott also promotes his 22 years in the Navy. Both Scott and Black are taking swipes at incumbent Lori McKinnon for initially saying she wasn't going to run for a second 8-year term. Both Black and Scott question why she changed her mind. McKinnon says she shied away from running again because of attack ads during her first campaign against her then opponent Ed Sheehy, which made the race contentious. Those ads were paid for by a political nonprofit, and McKinnon has denounced them. She said the thought of that happening again was daunting.
I changed my mind really when I visited with some friends, other appellate judges across the nation at a conference. You know, they gave me some very good advice, which was, you know, the worst reason not to run is for fear of losing.
McKinnon is asking her voters to focus on her 6 years of experience as a district judge in the 9th District, which includes Glacier, Toole, Teton, and Ponderay counties. She created a substance abuse court in the district, which she says helped better integrate those with addictions back into society. McKinnon also says the roughly 2,000 cases she has heard while in the state Supreme Court is an important metric displaying her experience. McKinnon says she's written majority opinions in about a fifth of those cases. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
Montana's June 2nd primary will be conducted mainly by mail-in ballot. Candidates are working to get their message out before the election. Kevin Trevlin reports on the 8 candidates running for Montana's lone U.S. House of Representatives seat.
2 Democrats and 6 Republicans are trying to succeed current Republican Representative Greg Gianforte, who is running for governor. Both Democrats advocate for health care reform, though with different end results. Former State Representative Kathleen Williams wants to keep existing Affordable Care Act protections and lower the age to buy into Medicare from 65 to 55. Current State Representative Tom Winter supports single-payer health care. Republicans have held Montana's House seat for more than 20 years, but Williams made a strong run for it in 2018 against Gianforte. For this primary, she holds a massive fundraising edge over Winter, $1.6 million versus $338,000 in campaign contributions to date. But Winter says his current position illustrates his advantage in the House race. He won a state House seat in Missoula County that voted Republican during the 2016 general election, whereas Williams' former district reliably votes Democrat.
I'm already proven to have the ability to win people over and move beyond the broken politics of the past on all these issues and actually speak to Montanans with an authentically Montana voice regardless of party.
The Democratic primary winner will face whoever emerges from a crowded Republican field. Republican State Auditor Matt Rosendale supports repeal and replacement of the Affordable Care Act. He also advocates for lowering prescription drug prices and expanding health savings accounts to allow tax-exempt out-of-pocket payments. Republican challenger Corey Stapleton, currently Montana's Secretary of State, wants greater high-speed internet consistency. He also says states should be responsible for managing unemployment benefits. Republican rancher Joe Dooling says both Stapleton and Rosendale want to, quote, jump around and run for everything under the sun, unquote. Stapleton briefly ran for governor this year before joining the House race, while Rosendale made an unsuccessful Senate bid in 2018. Dooling says one of his priorities would be holding onto a House seat that has seen significant turnover lately.
We got to stop turning this House seat over. This is a body of poor leadership. And seniority and relationships matter. We have a lot of wants, wishes, and needs from the federal government, and you can't do that if you start off as a freshman.
Dooling is a distant third in fundraising behind Stapleton and Rosendale, who's leading with $1.2 million in contributions to date. Former state representative and former Montana Republican Party leader Deborah Lamb is fourth in fundraising. She advocates for strengthening domestic food supply chains, particularly in the age of COVID-19. Remaining Republican candidates Mark McGinley and John Ivankovich haven't reported any campaign donations. McGinley believes in reining in the federal government's power, while Ivankovich presents himself as a moderate candidate supporting America's labor force. Kevin Trevlin, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Hear more about the candidates in Montana's contested primary races during a special program this Sunday at 6 p.m. here on Yellowstone Public Radio. Or listen at your leisure to a special edition of The Worm, available Saturday morning wherever you get your podcasts. And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.